Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it. Welcome back to Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. It's a real pleasure for me to welcome Diana McPhail, who's an author, intuitive healer, and a member of an organization that serves animals and humans that are in need. Let me give a brief introduction. Diana McPhail, she truly believes healing horses, humans, dogs, or any other animal requires the integration of the mind and the body. Every wound of the body is countered by an injury to the mind, and physical health cannot be restored until the emotions associated with that trauma are addressed. Armed with a degree in technical writing and postgraduate studies in business administration, Diana's career has included being owner of a full-service advertising agency for 22 years. She's a survivor of breast cancer and knows personally of the healing power of the mind and the connection with the body. Her commitment to help others is personified via her founding Maisie Grace, which is a design and manufacturing of camisoles and forms for breast cancer survivors. In her 2009 autobiographical book, On the Right Lead, Intuition and Coincidences, How the Mind and Body Affect One Another, Diana traces her intuitive abilities back to age 3, healing her first animal, a blue jay, at age 5. For over the next 40 years, the universe persisted, as she would say, by nudging Diana to accept her gift of healing by putting people and animals in need in her path. So she is certified with the Animal Bowen methodologies. Diana has written and contributed to and then featured in several human health-related articles and books and spoken at conferences for various charities. With her lifelong passion for horses, Diana's equine-assisted retreats have been featured on television and in magazines, and as she appears regularly at Horse Exposition. Horses are masters at interpreting human emotions, and with Diana's help, people have found that connecting those horses can be a genuine spiritual pathway to help them get closer to God. Diana, be with us in a moment. We've had the pleasure of hosting several people on our show that are in the intuitive space. We had a number of individuals that focus specifically on humans in terms of helping us connect and bridge gaps. But the others as well, people involved in the equestrian circle. My husband Ted and I, of course, bought a horse 2 years ago, our horse named Chappie. And last night was nothing but a challenge with the ongoing fireworks and noises of the outdoors. But Chappie came to peace with himself when Ted had the opportunity to go out and walk him around the paddock for a while and then actually let him run a bit. And lo and behold, he went and ran right next door and looked over the fence to the horse next door. And we realized that that's probably what his connections were, was wanting to have an additional animal that he could rely on while the rest of the balance of the world was shifting. So with that, Diana McPhail, it's a real pleasure to have you come here on Circles of Change. Welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you, Zara.
That's wonderful. Well, I did your introduction as we were trying to track you down, so we've already caught up with the fact that you're an author and intuitive healer of animals and humans. And specifically, you thought today would be a good day to talk about your book, On the Right Lead, Intuition and Coincidences and How the Mind and Body Affect One Another. How'd you come to the decision to, I assume, pour your heart and soul back in 2009 into an autobiographical book?
Well, it seemed like, my path for the last 10 years has been, working on healing horses, humans, dogs, any entity that needs to be healed on an emotional or physical level. And it seemed like the more cases I had, the more it was apparent that I could not heal completely any animal unless I was able to connect to the mind and the body together. So in other words, if there was an injury to the body, there was going to be some type of a wound emotionally. And so I just thought over and over again, with whether it was an animal communication that I was doing, communicating with an actual animal that was physically whole again, and then emotionally it was stuck and we couldn't progress. And so I did my research, and actually it took 4.5 years to get to the point of publication of the book.
Isn't that wonderful? Well, part of that journey, of course, you mentioned, and I mentioned in the introduction, that you're certified in the animal Bowen methodologies. For those who might not be familiar with that, can you give us the overarching precepts with that, Diana?
Yes, I can. I'd like to start by telling how I came upon Bowen, B-O-W-E-N. It's from Australia. I had never heard of it other than a mention of maybe taking a little beginner class with a friend to, you know, just use it on companion animals. And I was really busy and just sort of said, no, I'll get to that, because I was working on equine experiential therapy at that time. So my horse, Russick, had a cross ties accident, and after 2.5 months of other alternatives, the vet deemed him unrideable at 17. So this same friend tapped me on the shoulder and said, I'm not very good at this, but let me try it. It was amazing. After one session, Bowen, which was started in Australia in the 60s by Tom Bowen, it works on the fascia of the body, and it sends what I do when I work with the animal, I send a vibration to the nervous system. And as we know, the nervous system and the brain talk. And once that vibration goes up the nervous system to the brain, the animal starts to self-correct and balance on its own. So with my horse, within 3 sessions, I put a saddle back on him, and I rode him for 7 more years.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yes, it was amazing. And that's when I said, okay, this my journey has now been put in front of me. And so there's not very many of us in the United States. There's only 6 of us at the level I am at, non-veterinarian.
Well, I think there's another part of this story, though, and it comes out certainly in your book, is this, let's remember that this is probably, 40-some-odd years, maybe less than that, of other healing that you were doing, perhaps not knowing that you had this other gift.
Yes, I did.
Mm-hmm.
The gift that I tried to suppress.
To suppress and go away from and pursue a career in advertising and marketing.
Yes.
that you didn't know how to... Was it because it was like out on the fringe that you thought you were... that it wasn't couldn't possibly be authentic, or other factors in life, the shoulds and shouldn'ts that didn't allow you to get there?
It was the should and shouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, raising children and, you know, wanting to meet the expectations of parents, of course. You know, we needed a degree and we need to be a professional. But the whole time, Sarah, I was losing my soul. The whole time. I mean, I'm very left brain. I'm very right brain. I love using both sides of my brain, the right side being the intuitive side. However, I get bored very easily, and I knew that I had this gift. By the time I was 3, I knew what was going on around me. I knew what people were thinking. I knew what they were feeling, because I would manifest it in my own body. But I thought, well, nobody else is doing this.
Mm-hmm.
I better hide it. Because you start thinking, all right, why don't I fit in with everybody else? And truly, I probably never have. But that's what makes me interesting.
Yeah, and, you know, there's something so powerful in what you say that I think maybe years of experience tells us to finally allow that to happen.
Yeah.
But and have full confidence, but also be able to confront any of the fear or uncertainty that says, gee, I shouldn't be doing this, or this wasn't what I went to school for. I mean, I know this topic resonates with our listeners 100% for anyone who's in the position of saying, okay, what's next? I want this major shift. And there's a voice that's pulling them back to return to something, but they deny it. So I applaud the fact that you instead embraced it. Now, your horse, Russick, is that you obviously have had a long-time connection with horses then.
Yes, I have. You know, I was born wanting to be with horses, as is probably just about every little girl. And as I relate the story in my book, I drove my mom crazy, and so did my younger sister, Judy, until I was 9 when she finally relented, and she said, okay, you can get one lesson a week. Don't get hurt. And it was so sterile, you know. She tried, and it was really nice for her. She let us do our shows and go through all that, but I didn't get to groom a horse. I didn't really get to, you know, like they do now, kids can lease a horse, and you can touch them, feel them, see, you know, look at their body language. So it was, you know, I just got on a horse, and most of them I don't even think were hardly broke, probably 30 days on them. So my experience, you know, for the first 18 years of my life was finding out creative ways to fall off.
Yes. Because you knew it was going to happen.
Because I knew what was going to happen. And the whole time those are, I mean, I had these great, you know, old discipline, you know, German instructors. But the whole time I would get stomach aches every time I went for my weekly lesson. And I didn't know what was going on, but that was, you know, my body saying, this is not the experience that I want. I don't want to hit this horse. I want to, you know, not commandeer it. I want to be with it.
Right, and be a partner in that process. And really more the natural horsemanship approach, which, of course, we know to call it that these days, but not when you were younger in riding.
No. And that's when the last 2 years of high school, you know, I continued, you know, riding everybody else's horses, and, you know, any chance I had. But then I spent the last 2 years of high school trying to get out to Lake Louise, Alberta, to be a trail guide so that I could ride fresh horses. I could see what that experience was. And once that happened, that's when I knew I was really missing the true relationship. And they were wonderful. They were wonderful to ride. It changed my life.
Well, and then, you, of course, Russet came into your life. And here's a horse that you basically, he came to you, you wrote, to said he needed an emotional healing.
He came at a very tough time in my life. When I needed healing, I was sidelined from riding because of some physical situations. And I remember sitting in the arena, and he just walked down the ramp, and I looked at him, and it was just like, that was it. And it was like he couldn't keep his eyes off me, and I mean, it was romantic. It was truly romantic. And you know, from that day forward, I just felt this sensual love for him, to protect him and to help him release his traumas, because he was, you know, taken all over on the Arab circuit at 6 months, and not really out of a stall, and he had a lot of vices, and most people would have given up on him, but I just used him as a way to learn.
This story is strikingly familiar to us, because we adopted a golden retriever last year, Sadie, who had been busted out of a horrible puppy mill situation in Oklahoma. The federal government stepped in, over 100 mothers taken out. And she came to our home. She didn't have any of the basic commands, had never been swimming before, didn't even understand how to do stairs. So to watch the new life unfold, particularly as my husband Ted worked with her, he's had so many dogs in his life. And now, of course, she sleeps on the couch and doesn't have any problem with, you know, doing other things. But, boy, those first weeks were so enlightening to us, to realize She had no context of a different world. I'm sure the same thing with Russi. Well, your book then obviously is one that spotlights your own journey. Talk to us, Diana, then, about a session that people might experience. I know you're coming to Tucson here in the next couple weeks, so we're looking forward to your joining us. And folks, by the way, who are listening and would like to get a connection with Diana, you can get her at area code 231-492-5421, and her website is mind-bodyintuition.com. And also, if you don't mind, your email address is touchahorse@yahoo.com. What would people look forward to? I know you're coming to visit some new clients. What will people look forward to experiencing with your help with their horse?
Okay. Well, I also work with dogs, too, because my initial training was on dogs. When I work with a horse, and notice I say work with, not on, usually the greatest thing that they will see is that I, as a predator, am working with a prey animal, the horse, on an entirely different level than they've ever experienced. I have spent a lot of time learning the language of the horse, meaning where my body position is, and what I am saying to that horse, and they immediately relax the second I am with them. It sounds, I'm not trying to sound arrogant, it's just because they know that I'm talking to them, and they know the words I'm trying to say. And I, without ever touching them, I do what's called Jinshin Jitsu, and I energetically connect with them and start to release some of whatever their most recent situation might be. You know, it could be if I'm being brought there for a trailer accident or a stifle problem or whatever it might be. And I do that at a distance, and then I wait for that horse to finally gently lower its head, give me its eyes.
Its eyes,
and,
yeah.
And then invite me in. And I do not go in until that point. And I, the entire time, I say, this is about you. My ego is completely aside. The owner's wishes will become secondary because I am, you know, inside of this horse emotionally. And as we know, that the horse, what the horse is emotionally is its physiology. So I owe it to that horse to be very trustworthy, and it changes their life. My work literally with releasing recent and past traumas, it changes their life and imprints them in a different way. And I will have horses that you can't even get near, that are cow kicking, that are doing all these strange things. And just by talking to them, just with my energy, and then eventually touching them, they totally relax. And then, of course, I share with the owner what they can do after I'm gone to continue this work, because I want them to learn too.
Exactly. So you can take it. You know, you wrote in your book, and also I'm aware of this, that actually you become a receptor of whatever it is they're struggling with. That must take a tremendous amount of courage on your part, and physical strength as well as emotional strength to do that.
It does. That is, when I first started integrating all these different modalities, you know, I used to be able to do two horses a day. I mean, I would just be out the next day. And now, you know, I've learned to protect myself of what I take on. And so now I can do maybe six or seven a day. It's taken a lot of stamina to do that. But emotionally, I just keep talking to the horse, and I've learned to use my body as a receptor and just don't think. I just use my eyes to watch the language of the horse, and then I use my body. If I feel something in my left shoulder, I go, you missed something, and I just wait for them to talk to me. And then if some huge injury shows up, the horse tells me.
Mm-hmm.
And they say, we're not going forward. We can't go forward. And I just work with them, and I slowly ease it out. And if they say that's enough for today, it's no different than a person in therapy.
Yeah, that would take him. Diana, I mentioned, of course, in our, the introduction that you personally are a survivor of breast cancer and have given many times and hours to help others. In fact, you've invented, designed, and manufactured special garments for women who are breast cancer survivors. I would imagine that, that you're having coped with your own journey is one that's given you a tremendous amount of strength and presence and balance then to continue your work with animals in a new way.
Yes, yes. I part of what I do is outreach with breast cancer survivors. I try to contribute to, there's a lot of, you know, Trailing for Triumph weekends, Lope for Hopes, you know, such as that. And I'm always available to anybody that, that, you know, needs to talk about getting their femininity back. It's very tough. It's, you know, it's a journey that I never imagined I was going to go on, but I bought 20 years, so I'm very proud of that, and I always feel stronger the more I give to other people.
Which is a very common thread. We heard that with our guest right before you. It said the same thing, as to really help out and reach others when you're going through that own shift of yourself for 20 years. So this convergence. The other aspect of your work, of course, is I understand in your background is you have done equine-assisted workshops for people, so that it's really not just about healing the horse, but it's really healing, having the horse help you heal the human.
Exactly. It is astounding how a horse that as we start to uncover some physical issues, I will keep my eye always on the owner,
to see
what's going on with them. And almost, I would say 50, 60% of the time, I'll say, is there, if at any time you feel something resonate with you, with your horse that you would like to talk about, let's do that. Here's the place and the time to do it. And most often, people say, well, you always make me cry, and I always end up really relaxed after you're done, and I go home and take a nap. But that's because they're releasing right along with the horse.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a privilege for me. But I always tell whoever I'm with, animal or human, that this is about them. It's not about me, and we stop when you need to stop. And so that trust goes a long ways.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's been a real pleasure to have you here on the show again. For those of you listening in, Diana's book is On the Right Lead, Intuition and Coincidences, How the Mind and Body Affect Another. You can reach her by her cell phone at 231-492-5421 and also visit her website, mind-bodyintuition.com. Diana, thanks a lot for sharing so openly and honestly your journey to get where you are today, and continue best wishes in this new year as you continue to expand your reach and touch of others.
Thank you, Sarah. And I will be down in Tucson to see you and Ted.
Absolutely. And our horse Chappy in the mix. Exactly.
I know.
Take care. Safe travels from Michigan.
All right. Thank you.
Very good.
Change is chaotic. That is, unless you embrace it, going places you hadn't dreamed were possible. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, is a leadership consulting, executive coaching, and career transition firm. We help individuals make the most of their current employment situation or to step forward confidently into a career transition. Contact us at thelarsongroup.com or toll free 1-877-544-2580. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, helping others unleash potential through transformational change. 1-877-544-2580.